Do Good. You probably see the title on the board, and it seems a bit simple and maybe elementary, but I hope by the end of the lesson, these two simple little words say a lot more than they at first seem. If you want to turn to 1 Peter 3, starting verse 10, Peter says something about loving life and seeing good days. And here's the question, you know, is this really possible to love life and see good days? And for a lot of the people, the answer may be no. You know, I texted somebody not too long ago and asked how their day was going, and they answered, it's going good for a change. And that's implying that maybe not a lot of their days are very good. You know, you watch the news and you get online and you see so many sad stories, especially today, about so many people committing suicide. And I just read the story a few days ago, and it's an old story, but there was a Kansas City football player, a professional football player, that shot his girlfriend, and he committed suicide at the stadium. He certainly was not loving life and seeing good days. And we meet people from time to time that just really don't seem like they enjoy life. And you know what? That does not have to be us. You see, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, gives us the recipe of how we can see good days and how we can love life. Starting in 1 Peter 3, 10, I want to look at three verses, 10, 11, and 12. Notice what Peter says here. He says, for he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. The words of Peter here are interesting. Peter is actually quoting from an Old Testament passage. He's quoting from Psalm chapter 34, verses 12 through 15. Here David wrote these words while he was going through some tough times. He was going through some challenges, and now we find the Apostle Peter giving these words to the Christians who are also going through some difficult days in their lives. The five chapters of 1 Peter, we find a theme where Christians are going through various trials and they're suffering persecutions. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to what Peter says here to the saints in verse 6. It says, wherein greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials. These people were going through some difficult times. Look at chapter 2, verse 20 of 1 Peter. It says, for what glory is it if, when you sin and are buffeted for it, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, Peter says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. In chapter 4, verse 16, Peter says, but if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. And then in chapter 5, verse 10, Peter says, after that ye have suffered a little while. Peter is writing to Christians who are suffering and are going through various trials, but at the same time, he's telling them that they can love life and see good days. Peter is saying something pretty powerful here. Peter is helping us to see that when we enjoy good times in our lives, that it's more than just physical possessions or material possessions that we have. It's more than the amount of vacations that we take, or it's more than whether or not our health is perfect. Peter is saying that the key to how we can love life and see good days is because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The blessings that we have in Jesus, that's the key. And there, that's another thing that we find in this book. In chapter 1, verse 4, Peter reminded the saints that they have an inheritance that's reserved in heaven. He was reminding the saints that they have something great to look forward to. Later in the same chapter, he reminds them that they have not been redeemed by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, Peter was going to remind the Christians that they were people of God and special in his sight. And because of their fellowship with God and what God has reserved for them, that they could love life and that they could see good days. But after all that, Peter still had to give some words to live by in verses 10 and 11 and 12. Because you see, it's often the case that while we have all these blessings in Christ, just as these people had, at the same time, we need to be reminded, because sometimes we can do some things, or maybe not do some things, that get in the way of us enjoying the blessings that are at our disposal. So what Peter does in the first three verses is he lays out two simple principles that if these folks would follow, they would be able to love life and see good days. Let's look more at 1 Peter chapter 3. Most of the points are going to come from verses 10, 11, and 12. And in these three verses, and mainly verses 10 and 11, we're going to see how it's possible to love life and see good days. Let's begin at verse 10 again. Notice what he says. He says, "For the one who wants to love life and see good days," notice here, "let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." What Peter is telling us here, he's saying, listen, if you want to enjoy life, make sure you refrain your tongue from evil speaking. It's often the case that many folks miss out on good days just because of the things that they say. The tongue, you know, the tongue, it's an amazing thing. It's so small, but it can cause so many big problems. And we know from experience that that's true. From the tongue, blessings can come. And from the tongue, people can curse. From the tongue, people can sing praises to God. And from the tongue, people can put down each other. The tongue is a source of so many problems. And it could be that we don't see good days that we really want to have because we fail to refrain our tongue from evil speaking. And it's often that people don't have good days in the home because the husband or the wife has not refrained their tongue from evil speaking, but have rather they've insulted their spouse and they've put down their spouses, or they've spoken rudely or harshly to their spouse. That person is not going to see good days. Now, a friend, Craig, at work, he goes along with the book that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And Craig operates on logic. Now, he's a top-notch electrical engineer, and everything he does is from logic. And his wife, Karen, operates on emotion. And I suppose that's the case in most relationships. But anyway, Craig will come into work maybe once, maybe twice a year, and he said, "Dave, I knew better, but I did it anyway. Karen and I were arguing, and I tried to use logic to win, and it didn't go so well. She wasn't making any sense, and I got frustrated, and I hurt her feelings, and now she's mad at me." Well, Craig said some things that he shouldn't have said, and now he's not going to see good days for a while, right? At the same time, it's true for us if we go down that path. And sometimes we can miss out on seeing good days if we refuse to refrain our tongues. Now, some of us may be going through some bad days right now because we've slandered somebody, we've gossiped, or we've spread rumors, or because we've lied and it's caught up with us. Some of us may be going through bad days because we've not refrained from speaking evil and have made it a habit of complaining over and over. You know, you can put complaining in there with evil speaking. The Bible speaks against complaining and the person that complains. They're not going to have all that many people around them. I saw something on the internet that was interesting, and maybe we should try it sometime, I don't know, but a preacher wanted to encourage the members of the church to avoid complaining. He gave everybody a purple wristband, and he challenged everybody to not complain a single time for 10 days. And that's a long time. It seemed like 10 years, I guess, if you're a complainer. And every time they complained, they had to move it from one wrist to the other and start all over again at day one. But it was a way to remind them to refrain from complaining, from evil speaking. You know, maybe not 10 days, but how about tomorrow we go 24 hours without complaining? You think we can do that? I think that's possible even during COVID-19 and the stay-at-home order, and even if you've run out of toilet paper. Peter's telling us that we need to refrain our lips from evil speaking, and complaining falls into that category. If we refrain our lips from evil speaking, we'll see good days. The tongue can get us in a lot of trouble, but the trouble really doesn't begin with the tongue. Go to Mark chapter 7 for just a minute and listen to the words of Jesus in Mark 7, verses 21 through 23, where Jesus tells us where the problem really begins. It says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." That's really where the problem begins. It's in our minds and in our hearts. There's a bigger principle that is at play here. If we're going to refrain our tongue from evil speaking, then we have to control our minds. We need to control our thoughts, and the principle that we find here is the principle of self-control. Self-control is how we can see good days and how we can love life. Now, self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Galatians 5:22 and you can see that. Self-control is how we refrain from evil speaking, and maybe your days are not as good as they should be because you failed to use self-control. But self-control, it's a wall of defense for us. It'll protect us and it'll help us from getting into situations that we don't need to be to begin with. Go to the Old Testament real quick and Proverbs 25. Let's read a passage here. It's a powerful passage and it kind of relates to what we've been looking at. It gives a good illustration about self-control. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, "A person who does not control his temper is like a city whose wall is broken down." Now, when a wall was broken down in a city back in the Old Testament, that city was subject to chaos and attack. And what the Bible has shown us here is that when we don't practice self-control, when we don't refrain and restrain ourselves, our world is going to be full of chaos. That is why self-control is key, which means that we have to practice self-control and every area of our lives, including our tongue. But it begins really with the mind. We have to control what we put in our minds. We have to control what we see. We have to control what we hear. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:8 reminds us what to dwell on. Things that are good, things that are lovely, things that are just, things that are pure. Those are the things that we should fill our minds with because if we don't and we allow our minds to go off in different places, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. You probably know the person that thinks doom and gloom all the time and woe is me. And you know what their life is going to be like? It's going to be doom and gloom. That's how their life is going to end up. We've got to put good things in our minds. A man who allows himself to look at sexually explicit material, that man's not going to see good days. He's going to face humiliation and he's going to be embarrassed and he's going to suffer mistrust from his wife or people around him. And things are not going to go well for that man. The point is that we need to control what we put in our minds. And that's not all. You want to have good days in your life? Control your finances. You know, I need to control my finances. We need to control our finances. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 7, that the borrower is the slave to the lender. There are going to be some good days for people in December. They're going to enjoy some good days in December, but come January and the bills start hitting your mailbox, the worry and the anxiety and the fear about how you're going to pay bills, well, that's when the bad days are going to come. But we can avoid all that if we practice self-control. There are people who delay making a car payment, house payments, just because they need to get some, the kids some gifts. And that's just a terrible, terrible idea. The kids may have to go without a gift for a while. It's a lack of self-control. We have to control our finances. That's how we can see good days. And listen, we need to control our time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, making the best use of time because the days are evil. This is important for everybody, but I want to appeal mostly, mainly to maybe high school or college students or students. We have great kids here and great students who are going to go places, but I want to encourage you to be wise with your time. There are too many stories of college students who mess around in their freshman and sophomore years, maybe playing video games till 2 or 3 in the morning and find themselves in a world of trouble. And what so many high school and college students will often do, they won't spend their time wisely, and before you know it, they'll flunk out of school. One of Matthew's friends did just that. You might say, well, that's an exaggeration. It's not really. I've seen it happen. Young folks, be wise with your time. That's how you're going to be able to see good days. What Peter is saying here in 1 Peter 3 is refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking bad things. That's how we see good days, and it covers every aspect of our lives. So if you want to enjoy life, well, that's what you should do. Practicing self-control, that's the first principle. It's a simple principle, and it's a powerful principle. And it can change our lives for the better for a long time. That's not all, though. Look back in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, where Peter continues on saying, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. There's so much in that verse here, and I was going back and forth about what to do with it all. We could talk about turning away from evil, and obviously that's a big component, and we could talk about seeking peace and pursuing it. But the two words in the middle, do good, seem to summarize everything Peter is trying to get across. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. What Peter is encouraging the Christians to do was that they were to be different from the people that they were around. They were to do good at all times. They were to be the salt of the earth. They were to be the light of the world. They were to be the solution and not the problem. They were to do good at all times. It's interesting in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter addresses really every relationship that these people would have. And look at 1 Peter chapter 2, where he drives home this point of doing the right thing in every relationship. Look at verse 12. It says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. You see what Peter's saying? The people around us, the people in our community, the people in our family, our colleagues, our friends, whatever it is, he was encouraging them. He's saying, you do the right thing even when they're doing the wrong thing. That's how you'll be blessed. Look at verses 13 through 17. He addresses our relationship with those in authority. He says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God. Listen to what he says here, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. When it comes to those in authority, he was encouraging the Christians to do the right thing, even when it's something that's hard to do. Those who were servants had masters. Look at verse 18. Servants should be subject to their masters with all respect, not only to the good and to the kind, but also to the unjust. Well, listen to that. It's one thing to do good when somebody else is doing good toward you, but even if someone is doing you wrong, says you do good. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, he talks about spouses. First, he talks to the wives. It says, Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external by the braiding of hair and putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing that you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Now in verse 7, he talks to the husbands. He tells the wives, listen, you do right and what's right, and conduct yourselves in a worthy manner. Now to the husbands, in verse 7, he says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. That's how Christians were to live. That's how Christians are to live. I realize, looking at this, whether it's people who are over them in the government, or that would have been, you know, that would have been hard at that time, because persecution was coming from those above them, or if it's a woman who is married to a man who is not a Christian, or vice versa, whatever the case, that would have been hard for them to do the right thing. Even if somebody was doing them wrong, and Peter said, listen, this is what you've been called to do. You do what is right, and that is how you'll be blessed. He tells them to do good in every relationship. And it's not based on whether or not somebody else does the right thing, but it's based on what you're supposed to do. Do what's good, what's right in every relationship. Then he tells them how to do good. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and an humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. You think that would have been hard? You think that would have been challenging? It would have been very hard, because that they were the ones that were to be harmonious and seek peace. They were the ones that were to make sure that they work together with those around them, whether husband or wife, or that they were not to be the cause of division and fighting. They were to be the ones that were supposed to be sympathetic and compassionate and show compassion. That would have been hard when somebody was doing you wrong. Yet Peter says that you show compassion. You be the one that forgives. You be the one that's there when that person needs you. You be the one to be brotherly. You know, that's the idea of loving one another, whether it's in the home, whether it's with brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what Jesus said. That's why people of the world will know that we're his disciples, if we love one another. And they were to be kind-hearted. And that's the opposite of being cold-hearted. You know, we're not to hold grudges. They were to be humble in spirit, and they were to put others first. They were to be selfless and consider the best interest of others. This is how they would be able to see good days and love life. Peter says, this is how you inherit that blessing, by doing good, by doing right. Not just some of the time, not only when people do good to you, but in every situation. They were to be part of the solution and never part of the problem. And this principle for us is powerful, and it's simple, but at the same time, it's profound. We must do good in every relationship that we're in. This is how we can enjoy life and see good days. And I guess we could spend a lot of time talking about the government, especially nowadays during COVID-19, and we could spend some time talking about colleagues and people at work and things like that. But I just think it's interesting that Peter spent so much time in chapter 3 with husbands and wives. And sometimes people have great days because of their marriage, because of their spouse, because of the blessing that family brings. And yet some people have hard days, bad days, challenging days because of their relationship at home. And so I want to end the lesson with 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at the husband and wife and encouraging us to follow the example, the template that Peter gives on how we're to do good. What Peter said in verse 8, the characteristics that we're to have, that is what us as husbands or wives, that's what we have to strive to be. As a husband or wife, we have to tell ourselves, I have to tell myself. The emphasis is on I because that's who I control. I control me. I have to tell myself that I'm going to be the one that will strive for unity. When those conversations start to get heated, when you start to get upset with your spouse, we're going to be the ones that don't go down that path of yelling. And when both parties do that, there's going to be peace in the home. That's what we should pursue, and pursue it with diligence. We have to tell ourselves, I'm going to be the one that shows compassion. I'll be forgiven and not hold on to things that they did to me. That shows that we love them at all times, even when times are bad. That's how we see good days. I'm going to be the one that seeks to make sure I understand my spouse's needs, and that I put their needs before mine. I'm going to be the one, that's what we tell ourselves, I'm going to be the one, the first one, to take the initiative. When I've done something wrong, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to try to fix the problem and to be nice when being nice is not something I really want to do. And I want to be courteous to the person that I said I love and cherish for the rest of my life. You know, it's amazing sometimes that we can treat a total stranger nice and be polite and be willing to help them out and go the extra mile. But when it comes to the person that we say we love, we don't show the same thing sometimes. The lesson for us is that we've been called to something greater. Our lives can be great. We can inherit a promise and that blessing, and we can see good days here on earth if we do what Peter says to do. And it says, this is how a wife might win her husband to Christ. 1 Peter 3 says, through her conduct, by her behavior, by her gentle and quiet spirit. That's how a man's prayers will be blessed, verse 7, by doing what's right. And so Peter, in 1 Peter 3, 11, he says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. That's what our job is, to do the right thing no matter what the situation might be. With a husband or wife, or a brother or sister in the church, or someone in the world, when we have this mentality and follow Peter's teachings, our days will be great. Loving life and seeing good days. It's possible for us, and it begins by doing what's right in the sight of God. Let me just add this. If our relationship with God is not right, it's going to be hard to do these things with our marriages or at home or at work or school or whatever the case may be. We have to make sure we do what's right in the eyes of God. In 1 Peter 3:12, Peter says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It all begins with our relationship with God. And that's what we need to hold on to. That we need to make sure that we do right so that our days now are great. And then when we get to eternity, we'll see greater days there with God in heaven. If you're here today and you've heard the word and you believed it, you can come forward and repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the true Son of God, and you can be baptized, fully immersed, have your sins washed away, and added to the Lord's church. And if you've already taken those steps, but you've sinned publicly, you can come forward and have a prayer on your behalf as we stand and sing the invitation song.